Biloluwa, Toluwanu, Obayanu, Ladiga. Right? I go by name Temi. Okay? Just don't try anything else. It's just Temi. So I'll try and introduce myself because Ginny did an awful job. I'm 22 years old. I was born in London. I kind of moved around a lot growing up because my dad moved around for work. So I spent a lot of time in the British Virgin Islands, in the US, in Africa for a little bit. And I think the only country or only continent I've ever been to would be South America. So that's pretty cool. I've been dragged in to actually talk to you guys about ambition. And I kind of wonder why Ginny chose me of all people to do that. But I kind of got a lot of my own views and a lot of my own kind of opinions. Oh, awesome. Thank you. Now I feel like a professional. This is awesome. There you go. I kind of have my own views and kind of my own opinions on what like ambition is and what it's all about and what it means and stuff like that. So I'm massively into my sports, massively into my music, and argue about absolutely anything. Gone through a lot of what you guys are probably going through now. And about, yeah, Mark was right, about 5.5 years ago, I started coming to Generator from my own church and sitting where you guys are sitting. So it was literally interrupt me anytime and ask me as many questions as possible. Okay, so I want to kind of get a feel for you guys. What do you think ambition is? What does ambition mean? This is why I want to get the chocolates. Okay. Anyone? What is ambition? Anybody? I really don't want to take these home. Yeah, there you go. You said a word. There you go. Get some chocolate. All right. Someone say something. What is ambition? Absolutely anything. Go on. Okay, I'll take that. If you want to succeed. Okay. Anyone else? Anything else? Yeah. Go again. Drive for a goal. I like that one. Okay. You get loads. All right. Thinking big. Thinking big. Okay, the boys have been a little bit quiet. So what's going on, boys? Anything? No? You're too cool, right? Yeah, too cool. I like it. I like it. All right. More. Anything on this side? Passion. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. All right. I really don't want to take you time. End really badly. My man, I like that. You get loads. All right. Well, can anyone think of, like, an ambitious person? Like, literally, just name any name you can think of. You want Snickers? John McEnroe. Who said John McEnroe? Yeah, I like that. He's an angry guy, but yeah. Go on. Ooh. See, I like arguing. I'm not sure about that one, but I'll still give you one. Get one. I despise her. And you forgot my name. No. Yeah, go on. All right, okay. Let's move on. So, you go on. Right, all gone. Right, okay, so let's move on. According to the Oxford Dictionary, according to the Oxford Dictionary, it's meant to be like the fountain of all knowledge and anything intelligent, right? Ambition is a strong desire to do or achieve something, all right? Hey, share. Sharing is caring. All right, cool. Now you've got your sweets. You've got to listen, guys. Okay, let's move on. So, ambitious people. When I started thinking about ambitious people, I started a lot like you guys. I started thinking about kind of sportsmen and women. I started thinking about like the likes of Liverpool who tried the hardest after how many years of losing to try and win the Premier League, right? I think of teams like Crystal Palace who got promoted to the Premiership for the first time. I think about, I'm a Man United fan, so don't cheer for that. I think about like athletes who work their entire lives striving for a goal to be the best athlete they can be, like the likes of Mo Farah, Jessica Ennis, and even Usain Bolt, right? But when I really think deeply about it, I think of like two really specific people, which I will never forget. And I'm going to kind of describe them to you, and I want you to kind of guess who they are. So the first one, right, apparently he was meant to be the greatest president of all time. One historian said he essentially saved the country from destruction and led them on to, like, restoration, right? And so this guy, he kind of was brought up in a one-bedroom log cabin on a farm. He failed at business twice. He lost elections 4 times. No one ever believed he could ever be president. And this is a really easy one. So they made a film about him, which was meant to be based on history. And the second film they made about him, it was meant to be some sort of zombie killer. Does anyone know who he is? Absolutely. Okay. So a really cool story about this guy, which I absolutely loved, was that he was on a, this farmer. It was in the middle of a war between like the North and South. And Abraham Lincoln at the time was a general, right? So this farmer, he was working on the farm, saw his wife, and there was like kind of a break in the battle. So he went over to the battlefield to kind of see what was going on. He walked over, saw General Lincoln and the crowd of all the soldiers, and he literally was on his knees, screaming, right? Looking to the heavens, saying, God, help us, save us, all this sort of stuff, right? His farmer went back to his wife, going, honey, I'm home, like an Americans do. And his wife said, oh, what did you see? He said, oh, you know what, I think we're going to win this one. The wife says, why? I just saw General Lincoln on his knees, screaming out to God for salvation, right? And God can't ignore a prayer like that. I heard that story, and I absolutely loved it. I said, the second person, which probably the easiest guess, you should be able to guess before I even start, was the greatest man who ever lived, right? He was born in a stable over 2,000 years ago. He was served his father, served people, saved us from our own sin. Any ideas? That's really quiet. Guys, come on, you've got to try harder. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I think and I believe the most ambitious person of all time, the most ambitious person who ever lived. Okay, so ambition, should you have it? I mean, I wouldn't be standing in front of you if I thought you shouldn't have ambition, right? So absolutely, I think you should be ambitious. I think you should have something that you drive towards, something that you work for, something that you really want to achieve or do. But it's really important to remember that as Christians and people that believe in God and stuff, that our first call is to serve God, okay? Now, if you go around a lot of churches and you talk to people about ambition, it kind of is treated a little bit as a kind of taboo word, something that people shouldn't really have, or it's kind of a dirty word. And the reason behind that is a lot of people, when you talk to them about ambition, it sounds like a sort of a intense drive for some sort of success or power, right? But if you look at the Bible talks about ambition in a really different way, and I'm going to get into that. I mean, I can give you so many examples of ambitious people that because they were really like self-seeking and greedy, it led to their own downfall and their own failure, right? In history, in the Bible, you can think of Solomon, who was the son of David, right? King Saul before David even became king. Later on in modern history, you can think of like Napoleon. So I don't know if you guys learned him in history in GCSE or whatever. This guy like tried to take on Russia and failed and then died because of it. And even Hitler tried to take over the whole world. I mean, these were people who actually were ambitious. They actually had some level of intelligence and it just all fell apart for them. If you get into the Bible a little bit, so I'm going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It said, let nothing be undone through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Being ambitious in itself is not wrong at all, right? It's all about like what we honor, what we esteem, what we're working towards, and what our objective is. And we have to remember that our objective in life and whatever we do is to be accepted by Christ. Okay, so not the world. There's a phrase that I love, I absolutely love, and I hate at the same time, because I'm an incredibly ambitious person, right? I work so hard to get things that I really want and things I feel that God's telling me I've got to do, right? At the same time, like, there's a Bible verse that says that to be first in the kingdom is to be a servant, right? And that's really hard. Like, it's really tough because you think about the world, you think about all the really great people, really all famous. It's kind of saying that those guys, when they get to heaven, aren't going to be the most famous people in heaven because maybe they haven't actually served one another and served the world in the way that they should do. Okay, so you've got to think to yourself, who am I trying to please? Who am I actually trying to approve? I'm going to try and make my mates look like I'm better. I'm trying to make my people I dislike, right, like me more, even my parents to get them to give me more attention. Or am I actually just trying to prove something to myself, right? Or am I trying to actually be accepting and pleasing to God? And that's something that we really should be going after, to serve God and serve and arm each other. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you do this, guys. I promise you, if you do this, everything you need and everything that you strive for and everything that you really want from God, he will give it to you guys. Okay, that was a little bit deep. Let's get lighter. Have any of you guys heard of street pastors? Yeah? What do you know about them? Okay. Right, so the founder of street pastors is a guy called Les Isaacs, a really close family friend of mine. Him and my dad was the chairman of the board that kind of like run them, right? And so when they were starting up, as absolutely, and you used to be a street pastor, I don't know, Mark was telling me earlier. So when they actually started, the very first time it started, it was really, really small. And it was really, really difficult because they wanted to achieve something brilliant, right? So Les walked around Croydon a couple of times a night and noticed that there were so many like homeless people about, people addicted to drugs, like stuff to do with like really dark, really deep stuff, right? And he thought to himself that he really didn't want his kids and like his children's children growing up in that world. And he thought that God was really calling him out of ministry and into a kind of really like particular, specific area. So he got a group of people together, put them on all hoodies that said the same thing. God, I'm going out to actually talk to people. And they really struggled at the beginning. And you kind of look at where they've gone through, where they were at the beginning to where they are now. It's an incredible story. And it's like the right sort of ambition that I want you guys to have. So I guess I'm pretty much done talking about ambition, but I kind of want to talk about setbacks and struggling, because if you're honest to yourselves, life is actually can be really, really difficult sometimes, and it can be at any age. I remember when I was at school, I struggled with so many things, not just subjects and like people and stuff like that, but everything, like relationships with everyone, like trying to figure out what I want to do first of my life. You start doing your exams and you're like, your parents talk to you, oh, so what do you want to be when you're older? I mean, at 15, 14 years old, God knows, I probably said a fireman or something still. I mean, I said that when I was 8, I probably said that until I was about 20, well, a couple of years ago. Or maybe a police officer, I don't know. But life can be really, really hard. Life can be really tough. And there was a Bible verse I learned, like, growing up. It was Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. It said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So I'm a fan for like really cheesy sort of analogies and stuff like that. So one that I love is, have you heard about, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel? Right? I think that's a brilliant one, because it's like, oh, you're really struggling for something. What the Bible's saying is that, again, whatever you're struggling with, whatever situation you guys are going through, which you find really tough and painful, you don't know what to do, it won't last forever. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and there is like going to be joy in tomorrow, which I think is just a brilliant story. So I tell a little bit story about myself. So when I joined school, when I was like literally when I was 12 years old, I went to Trinity, like around the corner in Shirley. And I was massively into my music. I was like a really cool like singer, played the piano, wanted to play the saxophone, all that sort of stuff. I got to school, we had like our first like sports session on a Friday afternoon, and the teacher literally grabbed me by like my sports jersey and stuck me in the corner where everyone there was gonna be rugby players. He was like, you're a big guy, you can play rugby. That was it. I was like, okay, cool. So I played rugby and I learned to play like a load of other sports, kind of left the music behind. And I became like national in county rugby, national weightlifting and athletics. And it got to a point that the school would actually let me skip classes to go to the gym and train. Like it was an incredible experience for me. And we had like a massive rugby tour. I went to Australia, came back, and it was all good. I had a scholarship to go to the US to play American football, and I thought, okay, that'll be amazing. Go play NFL, be like a celebrity, make a load of money, right? I also had, I was just finished my GCSEs, and I had Loughborough University calling my parents, and I can go straight there after, like, without getting A-levels or anything. So I was like, okay, this is brilliant. Life is absolutely sorted, right? A couple of months later, I come back from Australia, play a rugby match against a school, and I get the worst injury I've ever had, right? Absolutely awful. I had to have an operation that put me on crutches. Okay, this crutches, I hate crutches, by the way. I was on crutches for 9 months, right? 9 months. That's like 3/4 of a year, dude. I had everything, like literally everything. I could see the cash literally rolling in my eyes. Have you seen like on TV, you have like a guy who can see money, right? I was seeing all of the money, just gone, man. Literally just gone. I was like, oh man, what do I do? So 9 months, the first 2 months of that, I was absolutely desolate. It was actually, I think it was like maybe the third or fourth month was when I actually met Ginny and you guys in Croydon. It was like, oh my goodness. I was really struggling at the beginning because I was like, okay, I've had all of this in front of me. It's all just disappeared. Obviously, I recovered from it and I'm better for it now. But like that for me was like one of the biggest setbacks I've ever had to deal with. So have you guys heard of the story of Job in the Bible? Okay, what's the story about? Brilliant. Yeah, one of the best stories, right? So The Bible talks about how Job, this guy, had absolutely everything, right? He had a massive family, he had all this money, he had children, he had a great health. And the Bible talks about how he lost all of it at the same time. As in, like, all the animals on his farm died, all his servants and children, grandchildren also died. And he got to a point that even his health, it talks about how he had boils from his head to his feet, right? Really, really intense stuff. But the brilliant thing about it was that he never let his trust in God waver. Right, so one of the lessons from this for me, whenever you're going through a really tough time, seriously guys, promise me, trust God, always trust God. It says that in the Bible, it said, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Trust God when you're going through tough times. Like another thing, like if you're able to say to yourself, whenever you're going through a really tough situation, that, you know what, I'm going to trust you always. Right, when you have that sort of like faith and that sort of like commitment, nothing's going to stop you. It took me, when I was going through my tough time, it took me a couple of months to actually realize, you know what? I can actually get through this and I'll come back a lot stronger. And I did. But I'm telling you guys, trust God and honestly good things will come of it. All right. The second lesson about it. So you kind of hit the point. When after Job trusting God, he actually was able to talk to God. He really prayed to him all the time. He kind of talked, he said he argued his ways with God, right? And I thought that's really cool because how are you actually able to argue your way with someone who's like the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler of the universe? Like, how are you meant to kind of argue your ways with that? And it talks about in the Bible that to talk to God directly, right? It says for the, so 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, right? So the Bible talks about Job was a righteous and clean man. So he can actually argue his way with God, but me, personally, I'm definitely not completely righteous, completely clean. I probably make mistakes daily, hourly, like maybe even the second, maybe just before I came here. Like, God knows what I did a couple of minutes ago, like, or thoughts that I had. Like, if I'm not a clean person or righteous person, how am I meant to actually talk to God about what I'm going through? It's really easy. So next to God is a really cool dude. He actually talks to him on our behalf called an advocate, which is Jesus, right? When we're struggling with something, he's the guy that we talk to and actually puts in a little good word for us and say, actually, listen to this guy, listen to this girl, hear them out, and let's help them out. Okay? So when you're going through a tough time, you got to remember that you've got a couple of choices to make. You can either trust God and pray powerfully in the situation, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to handle things my own way. I'm going to make plans. I'm a big boy. I can deal with it myself and cross my fingers and hope everything's going to get better. I know what's going to work better for you guys. I know what's worked better for me. So before I send you all to sleep, I can see some dreary eyes, I'm going to kind of round up. There's like these like three principles which I kind of developed whenever I was going through a tough time, which I think is really important for you guys to kind of remember. I want you to kind of live out when you're really struggling with them. The first one's never give up, right? So never give up on your dreams that God's given you. Like never give up, especially when times are hard, because I love like cheesy sayings like this. It's the one that says that when you're at your lowest, God is at his greatest, right? When if you're really struggling with something, don't quit. It says in Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, for whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Like, I remember in school, after I got hurt, loads of teachers were wondering, like, what on earth am I going to do afterwards? All my plans are just based on being a great sportsman, right? And academically, yeah, I was like, okay, I wasn't like absolutely rubbish, but I wasn't brilliant at all. And I had to keep on working at it, right? Your strength doesn't just come from yourself. You've got something great within you, with God and Holy Spirit, Jesus, right? It's going to help you through tough times. So, right. Another great story was Winston Churchill, right? Same thing. Went to his school, and a lot of teachers didn't think he was actually going to amount to anything. And when he went back, he gave the best thing anyone ever said. In front of all the teachers who doubted him, he told all the kids, never, never, never give up. The second thing, believe. Believe, like, in God. Like, believe in the victory that he gave you guys for absolutely nothing, right? Believe that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. If you actually, like, believe that and you take that to heart, right? If faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain, which is tiny, how much more can it really do in your lives? Like, I want you guys to believe in yourselves and believe that God's given you such great skills and talents, and I can see them. Like, I really believe you guys have got some great gifts here, right? Use them and believe in yourself. And it says in Matthew 19, verse 26, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I used to carry around a ring that I used to wear on my hand, and I love jewelry art, by the way, that all things are possible, simply because when you're struggling through tough times, that's what you're going to remind yourself. Like, there is no, like, oh, it's going to be over. It's like, I don't know what to do. All things are possible. Finally, be phenomenal. Like, we're called to serve God, to serve one another, to serve the world, and be a light to the world, right? That means, like, the ordinary things are not okay. So I'm not telling you guys to be the best. Go be number one. But someone said it earlier, like, be the best you, right? If you're the best you, you will make a difference. And actually, go out and make a difference. You're going to see so many things that you're going to grow up and want to change. Go and start making the changes in the world you really want to see, okay? So when I say that, quick warning, I don't want you guys going out in the street talking to, like, gangs and talking them down and telling your parents that I told you to do that, because Mark will tell me off. And although I'm bigger, he's really scary when he's angry. So don't do that. But what I do want you to do is to pray for dreams and fulfill them, and to kind of start simple, start building some momentum, start putting one foot ahead of the other. Like a great athlete, a boxer actually, said that true greatness is a lot of little things done well. Okay, so I promise I'm actually finished now. So let's pray. All right. Lord God, I thank you so much for allowing me to actually have the honor of coming to speaking today, Lord. I pray that you kind of help us to have holy ambitions and to be able to realize that when we're going through tough times, that you can help us turn our setbacks into comebacks, Lord. Help us to, like, be like Job and to know that when we're struggling with really hard things at school or when we go off to university or in summer, wherever, Lord God, that to trust you at all times and to pray to you and talk to you and to tell you how we're feeling. And help us to dream big, to fight for our dreams, and to remember that we should never give up, to believe in you and be phenomenal. In Jesus' name, amen.